The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
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 Nah.
What?
I don't play that game. Oh,
are you gonna stonewall me?
Man.
I'm back, baby.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get a new catchphrase started where I come on a podcast and when they point to me, I say, "I'm back, baby."
I don't like that at all.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
Yeah, I like that.
No, that went really well.
No, it's not going well.
Don't encourage me.
Yeah,
it's a good one. Whenever I guest on podcasts, I say, "Happy to be here, Adam."
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, regardless of whether or not Adam is around.
Adam Boyce? No. Andrew's classic catchphrase of you ever made love at a haunted house?
Wow. All right, so anyway, welcome to Podcast Beyond episode 466. That's a whole lot of different episodes that we've done. This one's going to be different from the last 465 of them, I hope.
200 anyway, episodes
very
away
similar
from
to
the
episode
Mark
390.
Of the Devil.
Yeah. What?
This is just a remix.
I mean, yeah, that's a long walk. Anyway, yeah. I'm Max Scoville. I'm joined today by Marty Sleva.
Hello.
Brian Altano.
Rap.
And Zach Ryan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
that catchphrase. Hey, guys.
Yeah, so we're at that wonderful point of the year where games are coming out and people are getting to play them and have fun with them.
Holy moly.
And,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a very exciting time. Let's start with Titanfall.
Yeah.
Titanfall 2 is out in the wild. That came out, last week?
That's right.
It came out Friday. For a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you finished it yet?
I haven't finished the campaign. I think I have 2 missions left.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm just really, really digging it a lot.
Okay.
I love it.
What about you guys?
I'm probably 75% through the campaign, and I'm not too hot on it.
We're probably about in the same spot then, yeah.
All right.
I'm much less further into it.
Wow.
But I think
English.
I think Titanfall is probably the most mechanically sound first-person shooter this year.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's
just the sensation of movement in that
game. I mean, I think it's really interesting to play Titanfall back-to-back to Infinite Warfare.
Yeah.
Because you can do all the same things. You can run on a wall. You can slide across the ground. But Titanfall feels so much more fluid.
It does.
And so much more precise. I don't know. Infinite Warfare feels kind of cardboard to me. Mm-hmm. I'm really, I completely agree. It is so mechanically solid. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I
played through the campaign. I think I did it in 3 sittings, and I was really, really happy with it. It totally felt just... It's kind of stupid. It's kind of a Saturday
morning.
It's
definitely stupid.
It is a very high res Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
Are we going to get spoilery at all here?
Well, I know you guys talked a little bit last week about how it has this sort of Mega Man quality to it, which I completely agree with. But I also wondered, you're a Kojima boy, not unlike myself.
Oh, Koji boy.
And do you
Koji
get any,
Bros?
Yeah. Do you get any Zone of the Enders kind of vibes? With the way that there's the radio transmissions coming in, and then especially in the Titan fights, the way that the Titans control and once you get the abilities to jump around the arenas and stuff,
I guess I could see where you're coming from. I never got really super into Zone of the Enders,
so good.
Yeah, I don't know. There's too many weird things with the cockpits there. But
you love robots.
Yeah,
and you love weird things.
I don't like those ones.
And
that
you
much.
Love you love.
You strike me as the kind of guy that would have a Zone of the Enders tattoo.
I'm not.
You strike me as the kind of guy who would love the idea of that the pilots are right in the donguses of those men.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But no, I don't know. Titanfall. I think it's definitely one of those campaigns that is attached to the multiplayer. It's not here's a story that's from the ground up, totally super fascinating, and all of the guns are mechanically relevant to what you're doing.
Sure.
Like, they're teaching it, – it's giving you a kind of a sampler platter of Titans to be like, oh, here, what do the loadouts do? What are the different ways to play them?
Yeah.
Without having to grind through a bunch of multiplayer matches to be like, oh, what's this one do? How does this work?
Yeah. I'm purposely holding off on the multiplayer stuff until I finish the campaign because I want to kind of nail those mechanics before I get into the multiplayer.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
It definitely feels – like, I would agree with you that I don't think the – single player feels tacked on necessarily, but I don't feel like it was as important to the project as a single player was in Doom or Gears or even Battlefield.
It's baby steps, right? So there was some story in the first game baked into the co-op and
that's
multiplayer, right?
That's definitely the tacked
on. Yeah, exactly. But this one, there's a full 5 to 6 hour campaign that maybe it's not the smartest campaign narratively, but it's mechanically super sound and it does some really, really cool stuff. So maybe in the next Titanfall, should there be one, we'll get a full-blown, like, awesome narrative, you know, something along those lines.
It just sucks because all reports are that this game is not doing well, and it's because it was released at the absolute worst time. Mm-hmm. Like,
they
literally
put it right
after
between Battlefield 1 and Infinite Warfare, and it's like, why on earth would
it's
they...
It's actually tracking worse than the first one in some regions, which is kind of ridiculous because it's on three platforms.
And it's also, and instead of being, whatever, 6 months into the console's life cycle, it's 3 years into
of
the
course.
Console's life
cycle. And I also feel like that's a self-fulfilling prophecy for an online multiplayer shooter, is when those reports start coming out early, you're like, I don't want to bet on that horse, you know, because like I want to be playing this thing for a while, and if I know a lot of people aren't buying it, then like the servers won't be populated in a little while. That's the biggest fear with any online shooting game. Max and I got really into Battlefront. When you jump in now, the only people playing it are the most hardcore, insane, like, which defeats the whole purpose of the reason we fell in love with it, is because it's a casual arcade shooter. So if you want to have like a very hardcore, robust sort of year-long experience with this game and you're worried about getting into it, like, that's going to scare you off, and you might wait after Call of Duty, or you might be still playing Battlefield, which came out less than a week ago. I mean, it's kind of insane.
Or you're
EA
still playing Overwatch, or you're playing Gears. Like,
I remember jumping into like a game of Unreal Tournament like years after it came out, and people had just like broken it. Like, they were using that like teleporter thing to like just like boop, 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 through the map, and then like kill you when they go through you, and I was like, I'm literally standing here and somebody just teleported through me.
Well, that's the thing about a lot of those games, like you're talking about with Battlefront. That's the way I feel about Overwatch. When Overwatch came out, I played it nonstop for weeks. Like, I was super into it, so much so that I was on the Overwatch show here at IGN like quite a bit. But I totally fell off when we went to Europe, and I haven't gone back to it because I know that I'm going to get into a match in Overwatch and just get creamed. Like, it's crazy to me. It's terrifying.
Yeah, you're out
of
your weight
back.
Class now.
So and you'll never beat, even though those matches are ranked, it's still
You'll never beat someone that can just dedicate like 18 hours a day to a game. You just never will. Even working at IGN, you're like, you're spread between so many different projects.
Only
things,
the game of life.
The good news is,
it's true.
Whereas Battlefield is kind of going the Battlefront route, where they're going to announce new maps and drop new stuff, it's going to be one of those things where the people who are hardcore are going to pay for it, or if they bought the season pass or whatever. Apparently with Titanfall, it's all kind of rolled in. If you bought it at launch, you're going to get these updates.
That is super smart.
There are points, if people get sick of Battlefield or whatever, Titanfall's on sale or whatever, you can pick it up and, you know, probably download a stupidly large update file, and then suddenly there's new maps that not everyone's an expert on.
I mean, it'll also bring back people who did play it a lot for the first month, and then I was like, I'm going to put this to the side, and then all of a sudden, if 2 or 3 months later, like, hey, here's a bunch of new free stuff, you're like, okay, this sounds cool.
So, back to the single player real quick, because I think it does a lot of really good things. I think it's gorgeous for the most part. I think the level variety is basically exactly everything missing from the first. I think it over-tutorializes. The first maybe 45 minutes to an hour of a six-hour campaign is all tutorial, which I think is a bit much. It's sort of like assumes that the player playing it is just very slow, and I think that that's shouldn't be the case for this mechanically sound, brilliant locomotive shooter.
Yeah, that's where all about maintaining motion.
Like, to constantly sort of be like, go find the battery, go do this, go do that. And then about halfway through the campaign, again, I don't want to spoil anything, but it starts to introduce some incredibly smart mechanics that are then completely ripped out and don't return. And I was getting sort of Metroid Prime vibes from the entire experience, but the main difference is that Metroid kind of lets you keep yourself until the end, aside from the first 10 minutes where they take everything away historically. And I'm hearing a lot of, like, Half-Life comparisons with this too, which I could see in terms of being a sort of smarter AAA first-person shooter. I will say, in regards to that, if you put it in the box of first-person shooter campaigns of games that historically come out in November-ish every year, right, which is pretty much the Call of Duty, the Battlefields, Titanfalls, whatever else you want, it's definitely above
above all of those. But in terms of being something that like I'll ever want to replay again or even think about the moment it's done, I don't think that'll be a thing.
Sure.
I'm sort of fine with that, though. Like, I don't think, like, I played through the Doom campaign once, loved it, and I don't think I'm ever going to play it again.
Oh, yeah,
and
no.
Same thing with Wolfenstein, and I'm totally fine with that.
I was completely blown away by Doom earlier this year, I think at your recommendation that I should play Doom. And it's a game that, like, I totally fell in love with. I only played that game for 3 days straight and blew through the campaign. But, like, I'm pretty sure I deleted those files from my PlayStation because it's one of those things where it's like, it was fun, but it's never something that I'd want to go back through.
Well, I feel like Doom kind of embraces its own stupidity a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, so I feel like Titanfall does in the same way.
Not really. I don't think Titanfall is as good at doing that. I think that like a lot of the voice acting and the story stuff is very sort of like dry and almost sort of like, oh, we've got to go do this thing. They try to set up this sort of buddy cop interaction between you and your Titan.
Yeah.
And it never really gels.
Yeah. There's just no direction there.
Yeah.
It kind of bugged me because there are parts where I was like, that's funny in theory. That's funny on paper.
Yes.
That's like good comic book writing.
Yeah.
But somebody wasn't sitting in the room being like, okay, say that once more, but like you're angry at the robot.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, the robot is being a dork here. Like I think it's like a lot of video games, they're scared to have any rough edges, which is what jokes frequently are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like there's one boss who shows up or he's like shouting at you over this intercom thing, and he's like, what we have here is a failure to communicate. I'm like,
No one would quote Cool Hand Luke that far into the future. Yeah.
Are you serious? Like, I'm just like, that's such a, like, that's so cliched. It hurts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, he's got sort of a drug problem. And I, like, fight this guy and his robot. And it's like, they went 40% into characterizing this boss.
Yeah.
And it would have been more entertaining if he was just some generic grunt who came out and was like, rawr! Like, the fact that we got games like Shadow of Mordor, for instance, that have literally procedurally generated villains who are that forgettable. Like, it'll be like, oh, it's Tug-Tug Ratbag McGurk or whatever. And he shows up and he goes,
of the Dublin McGurks.
Like, he doesn't know anything about you. It's just a bunch of math and randomized parts there. Like, if you're actually paying people to write and design these characters, there is no excuse. I mean, short of just getting noted to death by somebody higher up.
Yeah.
Also, the problem there is, like, comedy is very hard for traditional writers, especially if you're not a comedian.
Yeah.
So thing is, like, in Hollywood, you bring in script doctors. Like, Dan Harmon added jokes to Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Like, they had a cut of the movie, he watched it, and then he added jokes to it.
Patton Oswalt gets paid to do that kind of stuff, too. It's great. And I think that, like, that makes sense. But if you're not going to play to those strengths, then just make Band of Brothers with robots, you know? That's the other thing people do. And like I said, like, this is smarter than most of the other AAA shooters in the same way like a puppy can be the best football player at the puppy bowl. Like,
yeah.
That was adorable.
Anytime. I think, like you said, Zach, I think they're getting there, right?
Yeah.
Like they're digging until they find what this game is and what it means to people. And the multiplayer, from what I hear, is fantastic. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that later. I'm sure all of us will dive in a little bit. But
to zoom out from that, we know Respawn's next game is a Star Wars project.
Correct.
The creative director of God of War 3.
Yep,
we assume it's a third person from the behind-the-scenes stuff, hand-to-hand combat-y thing, like you would expect from a
Masters of the Terras Kasai.
So, I mean, what do you, like, does this in any way impact your excitement, positively or negatively, for what that's going to be?
I think that just based on the fact that we've got a story-based game, we've got probably another Battlefront on the way. Mm-hmm. I think, like, and maybe BioWare is doing something. I don't know. I feel like they're going through this checklist of, like, what the Star Wars game has to be. I get the sense, because of the God of War edition and the fact that they showed, like, some scene of somebody messing around with swords.
Yeah.
This is going to be, like, some, like, Jedi God of War stuff, and I don't care. I'm kind of burnt out of lightsaber crap in Star Wars.
Really?
Like, I want more scum and villainy. I want like...
Yeah,
you know, smuggler nonsense.
I was gonna say, I'm kind of with you on that. Like a bounty hunter game.
I think we're gonna get probably the smuggler thing from Amy's game. It seems like if she's gonna make a game where it's gonna be the Star Wars equivalent of Nathan Drake, you're gonna get some of that.
Well, it feels like we get a new Star Wars movie every year, and we get a new Star Wars game every 2 years. That's pretty much the way the cycle's rotating.
I mean, I think we're gonna start getting them every year.
They're leaning very hard into I think that they kind of like blew the whole wad with lightsabers in the prequels, and a lot of people love that, and there is that whole like. People like, you know, KOTOR and all that, because everyone's got a lightsaber.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like Rogue One specifically isn't going to have any lightsabers in it. I think that was sort of what, I mean, you sort of get lightsabers in Battlefront, but it's kind of like almost in a hokey sense.
Yeah, but like that game's not about like hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I don't know. It'll be cool, but that's never been the side of Star Wars. The wizards are fine.
So,
I don't love, anyway.
I mean, what if it's an action game?
There's so much of that universe to explore, and I feel like most media has predominantly explored
the Jedi stuff.
Yeah. I mean, what if you were a character like Rey throughout most of Force Awakens, and that it is, you know,
well, I think that's a turn that we're seeing in that franchise itself, right?
Which
now,
is,
right?
I think Rey, in terms of like actually, now we're getting into this, but in terms of actually becoming a Jedi or whatever, is sort of one of the more interesting ways of telling that story. Because so far, it's been Jedis are either pure good, pure evil. Pure good, who's like getting a little evil, like that's it so far, and that's pretty much the range of character depth you get in that sort of class type.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, bounty hunters are like, who cares? They don't play by any rule book. There's no like codification of law for them. They don't have special blood.
I mean, when I brought up Rey, just what if you're a character whose weapon is a staff? Like, you don't need to be a Jedi.
That'd be all right. I mean, if you're playing as like Donnie Yen or whatever, I don't know. I guess like the whole intersection of Star Wars and martial arts isn't a thing that grabs me really.
Yeah, me neither.
That said, like, you're asking me what I would want to see in a Star Wars game from Respawn.
Yeah.
All I've seen from Respawn is Titanfall.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know what they're capable of. You know?
But it does give me, like, they do give me supreme confidence that they can build that world, because there's bits and pieces of Titanfall that look a lot like Star Wars.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like,
especially
Titanfall, too. A lot of the planetary stuff, like a lot of the jungle environments, even some of the factory stuff that I've seen so far, like, that looks like Star Wars to me.
It totally does. There are entire sessions of the single-player campaign that felt like that sort of mesh that Star Wars does perfectly, of just, like, here's technology and here's the jungle and overgrown,
you gotta fight those weird tigers.
It's the best Avatar game we've gotten.
Yeah, that's
like you get to
true,
be like
yeah.
a large robot who has a knife for no reason.
Oh, remember the awful Ubisoft Avatar game?
It was awful. I have that on my desk.
Yes.
Well, that was again that. Like, that's another thing that kind of bummed me out about Titanfall single player campaign, is that there are four enemy types in that entire thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's robot,
the robot man, the tiger,
and then the large robot man. That's the whole thing. But no, I think there's
Did you finish the man?
I fought a lot of the man.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really funny when you shoot the man in that game, because his head just explodes in the air.
Yeah, it's really funny when you shoot the man as the robot, because their whole body just blows into chunks. Like, it's like, wow, that's extremely violent.
But yeah, I don't know. I'd love to see some stuff that's sort of like, I mean, no one's really explored this, but like, what's a AT-ST look like 200 years after AT-STs look like? I'm starting to think they look a little more like Titans, you know? Like, what's a more sort of locomotive vertical AT-ST, like one that can wall run or something like that, you know?
I don't know. I feel
that'd be a weird looking chicken.
It's kind of weird.
How come?
I feel like Star Wars is so kind of like tied in that used future, but it's also like they've all got like World War II guns with like camera parts glued to them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's something inherently crappy about Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. That's when you get into the like Yuuzhan Vong garbage, and they're just like, "Oh, the crab people came from another dimension, and their armor is resistant to lightsabers."
Oh, of course,
that old Yuuzhan Vongs.
What?
I don't know what that is.
I know
that's
fine. They suck. They're like the thing that they retconned out. Because
I think eventually they're going to be like, "Hey, they made Star Wars in the 70s, but it's not the 70s anymore."
Yeah.
And I hate saying that, but Star Wars is a franchise that we all know will outlive all of us.
That'd be cool. I'll put it this way: like, there's a short list of developers that I would love to see make a Star Wars game, and Respawn is on the latter half of that list for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that they will make a fine Star Wars game, but am I like supremely stoked to see a Star Wars game from Respawn? Maybe. Like, let's see what the
I'd rather see one
from like
Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
Well. They're not owned by EA.
Yeah.
Also, you're getting one from Amy Hennig, so that's good enough.
True.
Also, Sean Messler in our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/podcastbeyond.
Yep. I'm always so impressed when you guys remember that off the top of your head.
Yeah. We usually don't. Brian,
I think last week I called it groups.com.
Yeah. You go out there to groups.com. Anyway, sorry.
Go to earthcloud.net/tilde.
Yeah.
He said to give a shout out to the Titanfall 2 League Facebook group, which is similar to the Soulsborne group.
Yep, so it's called Titanfall 2 League. Yeah, they started Sean and a bunch of other people in the Podcast Beyond group started like a sort of Dark Souls Bloodborne subgroup.
I've been into that.
And it's really awesome because they're just in there. It's pretty much weaning out all the garbage people on the internet and just being like, here's all the cool people from Podcast Beyond group, and let's have a specific version of that about this game. So
if you're all playing
doing it for Titanfall.
The whole thing in that is, you know, for multiplayer, you want to sign up for your team or whatever.
Yep.
Sure.
And then you make money and you get a fun little avatar and everyone gets buddy
icons. Like real money? Like gambling?
No. Robot money.
I thought it was gambling.
All right. Skyrim is back to mess up our lives again. Zach, you started playing it again, huh?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Sound like an old neurotic Jewish grandpa.
What's funny is, like, last week's show, you guys did a rapid-fire question about has a game ever ruined your life? And Skyrim didn't ruin my life, but there was a point probably early to mid-2012 when a couple of my friends that I lived with at the time were like, hey, man, maybe stop playing Skyrim tonight and like come out to a bar and hang with us for a little bit, because you've been playing that game a lot. And I put easily 250 hours in the original Skyrim. I did like everything you could possibly do in that game.
Did you climb the mountain?
I climbed many a mountain.
Fight
you know,
the
if
man?
You hop at an angle, you can just get right on.
Yeah, or you like get on the horse and you get the vertical horse.
Yeah, you get that too.
Yeah,
but I
janky ass game.
Publicly,
so janky. I love
publicly,
it.
Like on Twitter, I was like, I'm not playing Skyrim. Yep. I've already put my time into that game. I don't need to play it again.
What did you play this weekend?
Friday morning, woke up and was like, what's on the old PlayStation? Skyrim. Bought it.
Yeah.
I easily sunk 10 hours into it this weekend, just got right into it, and
so
the game is just as good as I remember it, and just as bad as I remember it.
Of course, of course.
I love it so much. Yeah.
My big question, and I asked Pete Hines about this, but they pay him, so he might have been dishonest with me. How are the load times? Because that was like my
faster
one thing. Going back into that on 360, it hurts to be like, oh, I'll just jump in and check it out, and then being like, ew.
No, they're much faster, especially when you're fast traveling between locations and stuff, because this playthrough, my plan is not to be a completionist. Obviously, nobody has time for that.
No one can complete it.
Yeah.
Todd Howard said that it will never end. There will always be more dragons.
But, there's definitely a few quest lines that I want to do. And rather than run across the map and interact with things as I go, like, I'm just fast traveling from place to place.
So are you playing differently? Are you finding yourself?
Yeah,
like-
so the first time... The character that I spent the most time with in Skyrim was a like classic thief, sneaky archer build.
Mm-hmm.
I did one playthrough as a warrior, just like a straight-up warrior. And I never, ever play as a mage in RPGs. And so this time, as soon as they cut me loose, I ran straight for the mage college and started that quest line so I could...
Yep.
I want to play as a pure mage and just...
I'm like kind of surprised you're this much of like a nerd about it.
Yeah, I mean,
You saw how much time you put into Witcher and
I don't mean like that. It's
like, honestly, like out of any genre or setting for any game, like a fantasy RPG is my thing.
No, I get that. Yeah. I'm like, I'm more the
he's
fact
like
that
classically
I'm not,
Zelda trained.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about the fact that you get out of jail at the beginning of Skyrim and then you make a beeline for college.
Yeah,
you're like, I'm gonna go to wizard school. Like, I gotta get to Hogwarts. Like,
I did the first like the preliminary missions that let you
access
those other things. Like, you go, you do a fetch quest for somebody, and he's like, oh, it seems like you might be well versed in magic. You should go and check this out. And then like I just ran straight there.
Right. See, like with Skyrim for me, like Witcher's one thing. Witcher's so very like. It is so built around like a story framework, and it is kind of very clear what kind of like it, you know, people show up on your maps as being like quests and everything, and you go to boards. Like, it's kind of there's sort of a structure there. But I've always loved Skyrim on the basis that you just get lost. You're like, what the hell is this? Oh, this is where a bunch of orcs live, and they just eat a bunch of skulls out of bags. So
and
like,
that was
oh,
sort of
yep.
that
okay.
was sort of my rationale for repurchasing and getting back into Skyrim is that it's an awesome game anytime that there's a lull. To just, like, if there's not a game that you're looking forward to coming out in the next couple weeks and you're looking for something to play, you can always play Skyrim for an hour and find something. Yep. Like, find a cave that you missed the first time around.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we kind of jumped into this conversation assuming that everyone in the world knows Skyrim, because you probably should. It's
one of the greatest games of all time.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most important games ever made. But in case you don't, it's basically an open-world action RPG set in first person. That
or third.
But it's kind of janky.
The third feels really, way flowier than I remember.
I was never into the combat in the third. It looks cool, though, especially to get to see your character and all the stuff that you've
made. Yeah.
But if you're looking for a game this fall and you're not really enthused by, like Call of Duty and Battlefield and Titanfall, and you want something that's like, you know, you're looking for this year's Witcher or whatever, and you for some reason never played Skyrim, proceed with caution. If you fall in love with this game, we might never see you again.
Yeah.
The Skyrim guide on IGN, I believe to this day, if everyone went away at IGN, it would continue to generate revenue for someone somewhere, because it's so it's like just consistently still in our like top 10 most popular pieces of content ever. And now probably all over again.
Well, it's also like an amazing wiki. IGN has a wiki for every game that you can imagine, and they're all very thorough, but this game in particular, and like some of the bigger games like Grand Theft Auto or something like that, but Skyrim, we have an interactive map
that
you
thing.
You can zoom over and click on, and it'll tell you what items you can find in each dungeon and, you know, things like that. And then we also have this awesome character spec build out thing where you can go in and select, like, if you're building a mage character, you can apply points and see what skills that unlocks, and like that way you can map out your character ahead of time rather than Yeah.
Brian and I were working here back then, and that was literally multiple people's full-time job for 3, 4, 5 months was working on that guide.
Yeah. I mean, that, every time Bethesda drops a game like that, it's just like
–
I remember, like, I've said this before, but Colin Moriarty for the first, like, 2 years I was in this office was playing
New Vegas?
Fallout
3.
Fallout 3, I guess. Yeah.
That's good too.
Yeah. It was just – I just heard, like, the loading menus and the pause screen. And
well, and it was something like his guide ended up – he ended up writing, like, 250,000 words.
He wrote a book. He wrote a book about that
game. That's nuts.
Yeah. It's interesting to go back to Skyrim now. It's 5 years old at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, they've redone all the textures. They've redone all the lighting effects. Like, it looks gorgeous. Except for the faces. The faces are still terrible.
Yeah. And those wolves.
Yeah, but it's still, like, there's still funny little glitches that you can find, you know, like, that's kind of the charm in a lot of Bethesda games, and it's also kind of a detriment, but, like, this weekend when I was playing, I ran into a mammoth just frozen into a wall,
and he was still alive,
but I just sat back in stealth and just picked him off with my bow and arrow and just watched my archery stat just increase over and over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was
that's
cool.
Great.
What I like is when you try to create a reason for a glitch.
Yeah.
Like, what's... Maybe these wolves are cursed, and that's why their faces don't move.
Yep.
We're like, oh, maybe that mammoth was frozen in that wall during an ice age. Now he's becoming unfrozen.
We should link out to that wolf
My favorite was I walked into this castle, and it's like full of skeletons, and I'm just fighting all these skeletons, and I go in this one room, and there's like this bowl of cheese on the table, and it's just like vibrating a bunch, and I'm like, oh man, this place is haunted. It's like a haunted cheese bowl.
Yeah, sorry, it's a very specific ghost.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, poltergeist, got to get out of here.
Skyrim, for me, like in the same way as Metal Gear Solid 5 is a story or is a game that its narrative is told through interactions like that. Like it's that, like, and that's why I'm excited to work at IGN when this game is out again, because we can swap those dumb stories. Mm-hmm. You know, like
it's awesome. Yeah. I'm actually, Marty, you've never touched this, right?
Nope, literally never touched
it. We're going to be, I think, doing a Let's Play series of that.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be you making very bad decisions and me getting like an anxiety attack because that's not the way I play.
I honestly pitched it as Training Day.
Yeah,
you've never done this before. We're going to get butt naked on Skooma.
Can you finish this game?
So you can finish. There's multiple different quest lines.
Yeah.
There's the main quest line, but then each like. The Mage School has its own quest line. The Thieves Guild has its own quest line. The Companions have their own quest line. And there's DLC.
You
can do a hot sex.
I think we're
going
to get married. I think we're going to try to find a nice wife.
Yeah.
Because it's like almost everyone I've ever met has been like, I love Skyrim. I played it for 100 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what'd you do? And like, I have no idea.
Well, Marty was texting me over the weekend and he said that an open world game that big gives him like anxiety.
It's terrifying.
I said, don't play Skyrim, you'll have a heart attack.
I had the same thing with The Witcher where I was like, okay, I can see myself getting into this, and I pulled out the map and I was like, no.
Oh,
what
Witcher's
are you
so
nuts?
Good.
I think like
so good.
Even Witcher like still playing mainlining that is like that's like an 80-hour game.
Yeah.
But with Skyrim, like the thing that they pitched, the thing that they labeled as like, oh, there's dragons abound, this is the main storyline, you can plow through that in like 5 or 6 hours.
Right.
Not rushing. Like 3, I think, was their record or something.
Interesting.
No, you can play that game in rushing.
Shut up. but yeah, like that's one of the story, like one of the storylines, one of the quest lines. But like, I think that was just the one that they were like, okay, what's tracking best? Dragons? Why the hell not?
Sure. Yeah.
Let's throw it in there. Mm-hmm. And then like, there's other stuff where you're like, oh, I'm gonna find the vampire friends, or I'm gonna adopt orphans and then kill their orphan master or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very good game,
and it's got mods now too.
Yeah.
Gradually.
PS4 mods are. Kind of pale in comparison to the Xbox mods.
That super
but,
sucks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are some, like, quality of life ones. There's one that I love because people have, like, the strangest, like, people, there's two types of modders. There's people who are like, yo, I want to get hunted down by Thomas the Tank Engine, and I want to have sex with everything. And then the people who are like, I can't stand the sound of that dog's claws on the metal, so I
saw that one. Did we find that?
We met this woman at GDC who was like talking about she's a Fallout modder, and one of the things is she hated the sound of dog meat's paws on like metal
on metal floors.
So she modded in a different sound file.
So it
or whatever.
Sounds like a nice like fluffy paw hitting like a soft
like
carpet.
Like, she was like, realistic.
Yeah, she was like, amazing. Every time I walk around with the dog, it's like clang, 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 and it was driving me nuts. So I went in, like, ripped that sound out of the source code and put in this, like,
that's so cool.
That's very cool.
So now there's one for Skyrim on PS4 that's just called No More Cloudy Days, and it makes it so that all the clouds are gone from the map, so you can see where everything is. It doesn't have these, like, you know, ambient clouds.
Max Scoville's first mod.
Yeah. And there's another one that's Oh, there's one that just adds streetlights so that
yeah,
you can like...
Yeah, I saw... So a funny thing happened to me. I was watching an IGN video about what mods are available on which system, and one of them that was available on PS4 and Xbox was this street lamp mod yeah. that just puts street lamps periodically throughout Skyrim. And for some reason, I watched that and I thought, yeah, I could be into that.
it's
I don't
really,
know why.
This really funny that is... it's somebody got just really... Like he says in the description, he's like, I got really, really annoyed that snow would fall on roofs and then it would also fall underneath the eaves of roofs. So like, you know, if you see snow in real sure. life, there's always like if there's a little lip. So basically it makes it so that there's no snow on porches in Skyrim because the guy was like, that's not how snow works. There's a small gradient on the edge. And
it's
then the
absolutely
just,
how snow works. It's called the wind, you dolt.
I mean, but like he's like, he just, yeah. God, what was the other one?
I grew up in New Jersey. We got snow all the
I
time.
Like you tell him that. He's like, oh, damn.
I mean, there's, like there's like a light snowfall. It's yeah. just like a realistic snow
it's
mod.
Hilarious.
The one I really liked was there's the Hearthfire. Did you play the Hearthfire DLC?
Yes. Yeah.
The Hearthfire DLC is, I love it because it's just The Sims. It was kind of them toying
I changed
with...
it to Farthire.
but it's the one where you build a house and you start like making, yep. you get to cut down logs. You build this stupid house that's full of mannequins for your dumb armor.
Yep.
But then you can go and get an orphan and a wife and you just like have these like this family. And it's like, it's kind of weird because when I was playing, I'm like, I just looked like Glenn Danzig. Like I was just this awful like satanic like metal man who's going around with a mace. And then I've got this like woman
oh, I'm here to
like,
be a nice werewolf dad.
Yeah. Like I come in like, Papa, you're home. And I'm like,
yeah, time to have a nice big bowl of berries because I went out and got it in the woods for you.
But like I guess if you keep playing that that DLC, you can wind up where you have like two different homes. You've got like a winter home, you got like a lake house and like a, yeah. and like a mansion. And your family will just wander around and like NPCs in Skyrim, they'll occasionally just get lost. So like one of the mods is just like, we put a road between your two homes so that your family doesn't wander around in the woods.
How thoughtful.
Wow.
It's just like, that makes me, it's so funny to me that like, you've just got this like completely just idiotic
oh, my insane wife and dementia child yeah. can come home whenever I want.
Ah, my simpleton man boy wandered off again into the orchards.
The dog's tail used to keep growing and never stop, so I added a new mod so he can hang from trees like a small chimp.
Yeah, that's Skyrim, man. God,
so great.
I'm probably going to buy that when I get home. God damn it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so in other news...
The exact opposite of Skyrim.
Yeah, yeah. So we talked about one of the most complex and weird games ever. That game company, the ones who made Journey and Flower and Flow, have tweeted out or promoted their next game.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't
Rockstar game style.
It doesn't have a title. They said it's, quote, a game about giving.
Yep.
And the two images they tweeted out, one was the silhouettes of one candle lighting another candle,
yeah.
and then the silhouettes of four children in capes either flying or doing a skip.
It's so funny
dancing
to me.
All
this,
about the maypole.
This is exactly how the Red Dead 2 trail started. It
right.
was just like, here's a color and a little icon.
And now here's the silhouettes of
here's
characters.
The silhouettes of characters.
Yeah. Oh,
and the difference in likes and retweets on these two games
yeah.
and what their end products will be. Like yeah. Red Dead 2 versus like, I don't know, the game where you play as like a leaf that lights on fire.
Yeah, but if you zoom in, the silhouette on the right is Javier Escuela, so we think this is a prequel. Yeah, yeah.
So
what if
like,
what if the third image in this triptych was like something totally incongruous? So it was like the two candles and then like four like frolicking children and then just like a gun.
Dinosaur.
What the hell is this game?
I'm into that. It's been yeah. a long, long, long time since we've had a new game from that game.
Four
company.
Years
yeah.
since Journey. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it just seems like forever.
So this is they no longer have their exclusivity deal
with
Sony. So mm-hmm. we assume this is going to be on PS4, but it's
yep.
possible it won't.
How long has it been since GTA 4?
GTA 4?
Or 5?
5 came out in 2013. 2032? What'd you say?
I think
so
I said
almost neck and neck there.
Yeah.
Those two companies. I could see, though, because those are it's definitely the same amount of time it takes
are you getting
to make
a distinct? Are you getting a distinct Magic Eye vibe from those images?
Are they? I'm really good at Magic Eyes. It's
that
one
was
of the
first,
four things I'm
that
great
was the
at.
First
really?
Thing, like,
yeah.
So, you know, like, at the back of the Magic
stuff
Eye
wrong with
book.
Your eyes. No, it's not. I have
you know
perfect
the,
vision.
You know the back of the Magic Eye books where it shows you the images that you're supposed to see?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's for people that suck.
Yeah, but it's like that's what these images remind me of.
Oh, yeah.
Like, That, what if the whole game just looks like that?
They look like those, what are they called? They're like sun prints. They're
exactly. Yeah.
This
like
is a total tangent. I don't know if I told you guys this story before, but like 5 years ago or 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago, I got out of a really bad breakup and I moved back into San Francisco from Oakland. And I was looking for a new apartment and I found this place in the Inner Richmond. And this is old Russian lady subletting this entire flat. And she was like, you can have it all. It's $1,000 a month. But the only thing is that you can't take down any of the furniture that's got to stay in there.
And no magic eyes. No.
Deal breaker.
Hear me out. And she goes, and you have to meet me for coffee once a month to pay me rent. And I'm like, what? I don't want to meet you for coffee. That's weird. Yeah, I love coffee. I don't like you.
This sounds like the beginning of an indie film. Like.
So I go in there, and I go into the apartment. It's really nice. And above the fireplace is a magic eye picture of a dolphin. And I could see it immediately because I'm great at magic eyes. And I go,
did you put that on your resume?
No. So I go,
host, producer, great at magic eye.
So I go, hey, this is a great apartment. It's huge. It's way bigger than anything I thought. The coffee thing's weird, but I can handle that. What's up with the stuff on the walls? And she was like, you can't take down any of the art. And I'm like, I can't really have people over and have them trying to do a magic eye puzzle in my apartment.
I can't bring a girl
That's
over.
That's just weird.
I'm newly single. I can't be bringing a girl over on
single.
A first date and her being like, what's the
right?
deal with
this? I was like single and I was like, actually trying to date somebody. I'm like, I'm going to bring her over and I'm going to be like, what's this? I'll wait.
Crack this code.
It's a dolphin. If you turn it over, there's a picture of a silhouette of a dolphin in case you get lost. So I didn't take the apartment. And that's my magic eye story by Brian Altano.
I totally should have taken that apartment.
Yeah,
but I'm really super good. Excited for Journey 2, The Burn.
Yeah, oh, this game is going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be weird and whimsical and artsy. And
best
all
game
that.
Of
I
all
think
time.
It's going to be multiplayer.
Marty
I think it's going to be a four-player over the garden wall.
No, God, I hope not.
I really, I want to make fun of it so much because they called it a game about giving, and that's like, that just, like, if that game was a child, that child would be bullied. Like, look, my mom made me wear jellies and Speedos when I was a little kid. I, like, was born to be bullied. It's just like, there's that, you know, like, if you just show up and you're like, hello, friends, it's me, Martin Prince. I'm here to play the loot. I bought a geode. It's just like, come on.
No,
call it a game about giving.
I love that game company, but they remind me of that like that chick, that like Christian youth group, the Beavis and Butthead Torment.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're totally.
Or like a Montessori school. Yeah. I mean, I went to art school in New York City. This is, I can smell my own here.
Like,
you know?
It's just such a, it's, come on.
Like, I love it because it's just like, hey, like in the same episode, we're talking about AAA shooters in Skyrim. We're like, now let's talk about some feelings. All right, guys?
Counterpoint, that game company has made three amazing games with
beautiful
art.
They're also one game out from making one about the bag from American Beauty.
Oh, man, if basketballs were allowed at that game company,
boy.
I'd say that was a slam dunk.
Basketballs.
Wait, is that a ball?
Pointy?
Get that out of here.
They're
too
competitive.
Yeah. Pack up your things.
Pack up your things. No competition.
Oh, that's great. No,
you
we're super excited for that.
Kush balls and beanbag chairs.
Do we know anything about like release date or?
No.
I mean,
they just started tweeting this stuff out. They actually created a separate Twitter account, and it's at that next game or
that next game.
Yeah,
I get it.
So, yeah,
I love what you wrote in here. Their past game was Journey, so maybe this one is called Bernie because you can burn things with candles. And adult depression is real and palpable.
Which one of us wrote that?
That was me.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, all everyone.
Yeah, so I
dressed as Willy Wonka for Halloween, and that was the highlight of my year.
We're all fine.
That
here.
And winning Double Dare.
Okay. speaking of
dark things
being revealed in a very obtuse manner, we got a nice reveal of the next Tomb Raider game, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which was revealed via someone's laptop screen on a subway.
Yeah,
I feel really bad.
This happened for
Black Flag?
Yeah.
Also
years
in
ago?
Montreal.
Yeah.
Ubisoft, it was, they we? Were working on, the guy was working on it and he opened up his iPad on a plane.
Yeah.
And a guy behind it snapped a picture of it. Yeah, same thing.
Can we just hire a freelancer to ride the like public transit in Montreal? Like, I feel
scoops,
like that would be really
hot scoops. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I seriously, just wear a wire, just eavesdrop.
Wear a wire.
Yeah, this is great. It's also like, I mean, they sell those like screen things that you can put on that makes it tough to look at from different angles.
Yeah, they also
that's how
those,
I watch adult films on planes.
They also sell those laptop bags that you can zip up when you're riding the train, and no one will get you fired.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
The
news in all this is that there's another Tomb Raider right around the corner. Yeah.
But one of the interesting things about this is that the leak, also corroborated by Kotaku, says that the game's not being developed by Crystal Dynamics, but instead Eidos Montreal, who most recently did the sex
games.
Mankind
Divided, yeah.
Yeah. And that's also something I'd heard. Mm-hmm. And so that's interesting because to me that's like, well, what's Crystal D working on now? Like, are they working on Tomb Raider 4 or are they the support studio for this or are they working on something new entirely?
Which I hope it's something new.
Yeah.
Being a fan of video games always feels like finding about your Christmas presents because like your mom left a receipt on the counter. Like instead of actually getting it or seeing the actual box, it's just like, oh, there's the most boring way to find out about something that I'm incredibly excited for.
I can't wait to play this game. The Switch or Red Dead was cool because it's just like, that didn't leak. Well, I mean, I guess Switch leaked a bunch, but like that. All
Red
that
Dead
stuff
was rumored for a while, but like in terms of like, here's the trailer. Here's like, we didn't even know what the Switch logo looked like or anything.
It's not like the Dark Tower where it's like, here's a camera phone shooting a
the
trailer
PS4
with a
Pro.
Previs.
The Pro was unboxed before it was announced. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
You know? But no, this is really awesome. As I've said for ages on this show now, I'm absolutely like one of the biggest fans of those the Tomb Raider games. You just played through the one recently, right?
Talked about that at all?
I don't think so.
So if you're looking for a really just super fun, well-rounded video game, that's a thing you could get on your Sony PlayStation 4, which will... Is that doing PS4 Pro stuff?
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's doing PS4 Pro stuff. It's doing PSVR stuff. It's got a VR special mission. Yeah. Like, this is like... Finally came the PS4. They kind of like all the DLC is packaged in there. I think in terms of being like, hey, sorry we made you wait a year. Like, it's a good package for like a hardcore PlayStation fan because if like you've got the Pro, you got PSVR. Like all that stuff's really.
It does
cool.
interesting stuff with the Pro where that you can choose where you want the power to be pushed towards.
Oh wow!
Like, you can choose whether you want 4K, that's important to you, or whether improved frame rate's important to you.
Oh really?
Yeah. That's nuts.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we were just watching Vince play this.
Yeah.
So,
can we talk about that?
I will say that.
sorry.
Embargo.
Okay.
Wait. And.
Question mark? It's
45.
Fine.
All right. I will say that Rise of the Tomb Raider is like pretty much a perfect video game, especially in its like 20th anniversary form where it comes with all the bells and whistles and all the weird crap you can do. I played through that game probably, I think it's not super long. It's like eight to ten hours. Which is like just the right amount to not get sick of it, but also
It can be double or triple that if you like go all in.
Yeah.
But,
well, yeah, if you're hunting down all the animals to upgrade all your gear
it's got that wacky like trading card arcade game mode, like the expeditions or whatever, where you can go in and like I like finished the game and I was like I beat the last boss fight or whatever the hell you do at the end of that game, and I was like, oh wow, credits, this whole game is over. And then I was like, what was all that crap I unlocked?
Yeah.
You know, and then I go to this like you go to this weird thing and basically it feels almost like a slot machine. Like, you have all these cards you unpack, and then basically, like, they're weird modifiers. Like, oh, all the enemies maybe explode into poison gas when you try to loot their bodies. Or, oh, headshots make rainbows shoot out or whatever. Like, literally, I set it so that I had classic Lara Croft, like, crappy PlayStation 1 graphics.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things ever.
Giant head, and then a rainbow trail. So she just looked like this cartoon Bratz doll.
Yeah.
And she's just going through this, like, awful scorpion cave, and I was like, this is nightmarish. And like, none of those modifiers affected the gameplay, really.
No, not at all.
It's great. It's a lot
but
like
you can also do stuff where it's like, oh, yeah, you're
Goldeneye.
Yeah.
Yeah. We saw a lot of the same kind of stuff after you beat Uncharted 4. Like, Max and I did a Let's Play where the whole game was cell shaded, and every time you drew your gun, it turned into slow motion.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, it made really that cool. A completely different game.
I really like that. In Uncharted, it actually affects the campaign.
Right.
Whereas in Tomb Raider, the thing that would make me go back and collect all that crap and kill like 15 rabbits or whatever you have to do to unlock new things is if I could roll that in there. But instead, it's like this weird sort of speedrun expedition mode. Which is sort of a bummer. I almost feel like kind of like disappointed there because they showed off that like that PlayStation 1 model and like they're like, oh, look at this, guys, you can get this thing. And I was like, oh, I'm totally gonna play the whole game.
I really wish
it's hilarious to watch that PlayStation 1 model interact in cutscenes.
It's great because especially with the villain who's like, I actually really like the villain in that game. I think that game fixed story-wise, it got closer to fixing a lot of the problems for the first one. First one had like Lara is fantastic. She's just a great
everyone
character.
Else is just
everybody else is terrible.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's the difference between
what.
I was way, way less happy with the story in the second one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? I thought the first one just devolved into sort of nonsense by the end.
I loved that nonsense.
Really? Yeah.
Fought an ogre.
Yeah.
He went up on a
barrel.
I had to
write
fight
that down.
An ogre battle.
Ogre
battle.
We don't say ogre on this show.
That's right.
Oh, the O word. the big O. I thought it was way more fun to just feel kind of isolated. And, like, you were still killing dudes with your bow and stuff and fighting deer and wolves and all that crap. But, like, in the second one, I hated all the weird village people who were hanging around. like the weird little
man,
like,
the Native American headdress,
like the construction worker,
fireman,
the cop, sailor,
sexy cop,
the highway cop, yeah,
all those G.I. Joes,
yeah. But no, like all the like the weird sort of Horizon Zero Dawn looking people who are hanging out in like little woodland things, and they were like, oh, I've got a pumpkin patch and a chicken coop, and I'm like, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They were like, Lara, come back, I miss you, and I was like, who are you? I don't care.
I absolutely love the environments and the traversal in that game.
Oh, yeah.
In the canyon areas where it kind of opens up. Like, just my memories of that game when I look back on it are just sort of like spending 2 hours in like a
each
field,
of the big
just
areas.
Like
yeah.
hunting and like being in the middle of trying to solve a puzzle, and all of a sudden 7 wolves show up and I have to fight them. Like,
see,
I really love that sort of like environmental interaction stuff that would happen. Completely randomized. Like, and one of my, and I hate that we can't talk about Tomb Raider without talking about Uncharted, but one of my pet peeves with Uncharted is this sort of like, you clear through an area, and then like, you can kind of fuss around and pick up some like artifacts and stuff like that.
There's no real incentive to go back and explore it.
But in Tomb Raider, like, I really like the fact that you'd be solving a puzzle. You'd be like, how do I get up there? Like, you would see something and be like, I can get up there. I wonder how.
Well, that's,
and then upgrading your weapons and stuff is really cool to me.
That's the same thing that I'm kind of struck with about Titanfall, to go back to the beginning of the show, is like, there are so many hidden pilot
helmets
throughout
the
course of Titanfall that there's no indication as to how you get up there, and you kind of have to Metroid Prime your way up to each of these helmets. But it reminds me almost of Uncharted 4 in the fact that, like, that's just a collectible.
Yeah.
Whereas in Metroid and in Tomb Raider, when you finally puzzle your way up there, it's an upgrade or it's a piece that you need to build a bigger gun or, you know, something like that.
And I love that, right? Because it completely – it's optional, but it's completely incentivized in case you do take that option, rather than just being like, here's a direct path through this game, and when you're done, you're done. And if you go back and go get stuff, but it's mostly just for a platinum trophy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really to be like, oh, I have like – my gun feels better. My bow and arrow can shoot further.
I don't know how much of that is – like, I don't know enough about game design to really quantify that, but I imagine that when there's a collectible that doesn't do anything, it's something that's added far later because it doesn't affect the balancing or the game design. You know, and they're like, oh, we'll make it so you can hop up there if you want, and maybe there's a treat. Mm-hmm. You know?
I think it's like – it's also, you know, back to Titanfall. I think what I found myself doing was kind of rushing through a lot of environments in that game because it's such a quick-moving game.
Yeah.
Well, you want to be at that momentum, right? Like, that's why the tutorial sucks so bad in that game, is because you know once you hit that fluidity how much fun it is to traverse in that game.
Totally.
And so you always want to be moving that fast.
Yeah, like, you don't want to stop. And like, when it comes to a crawl, you're like,
I love a big robot. That's some of my favorite types of fiction.
Yeah.
But the way that
like Evangeline Lion?
The way that you move on foot is much more fun than the way that you move in the robot.
Like, she was great on Lost.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally with you. I like the fact that once you get in a robot, it can't jump, but it can like hover,
like,
sometimes.
Kind of, yeah.
Like, it's
some of them can.
But yeah, Tomb Raider's awesome. If you missed it on Xbox One for some reason, like, it kind of sucks.
Absolutely, go back. Yeah.
We were saying, like, can we just vote for that as Game of the Year again? Because, like,
really,
I kind of would.
It got robbed. Like, that's such a bummer. I would put that in the same category as, like, Far Cry 3, because that got released on, like, the beginning of December when everyone was overplaying Game of the Year stuff. But, like, that would have totally been, like, top of the list for so many people.
Well, it's why, like, console exclusivity crap from third parties, like, it kind of sucks for people a lot.
It totally
sucks. Like, I wish, like, I don't know how much that would have stolen the show this fall had everyone been playing it for the very first time,
like,
just now.
I mean, I don't want to, like, fan the flames or anything, but, like, it sucks because it's, like, Tomb Raider was originally a PlayStation franchise, or, like, it goes back that far, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has no immediate relationship to Xbox, and it's, like, kind of, like, that 20th anniversary does feel like they always throw around the term definitive or whatever, the definitive collection, but, like, it is definitive. It's got, like, you can totally dress up like old Lara Croft and, like, the crappy polygon boobs. And,
yeah, you were jumping out of the campaign and into, like, the zombies Baba Yaga stuff too, right?
Yeah, it's,
like,
it's
so cool that
stuff.
Like, all that's there. We had on Xbox, we had to wait a while for that to kind of trickle out, so.
Yeah, it's cool.
Cool.
Do we want to talk at all about what Q4 games we're still stoked on, or we do just kind of do that?
I put that in last minute. I didn't know that we were going to jump in the room so fast, so we don't have to. We can move.
That's fine. Okay. What's left?
Watch Dogs,
Call of Duty, Final Fantasy, and The Last Guardian are the big ones. And I guess Pokemon.
Yeah,
Pokemon.
What do you guys say?
I'm very disappointed that you didn't mention Dishonored 2.
Oh, yeah. That was bad on my part.
Dishonored 2 comes out in 2 weeks.
You guys are big Dishonored dish nerds, right? You just all get crazy about that?
I love Dishonored. I love the first one. Yeah.
Dishonored.
Yeah,
Dishonored. Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm super stoked for Watch Dogs.
Me too.
I want to burn through that before Final Fantasy comes out, and that's probably going to take up the rest of my year, aside from Last Guardian, which I think I'm reviewing.
Yeah, I'm very excited for Watch Dogs. I'm guessing that game's going to be like a 7.5 or 8. That's just kind of where my head's at.
I would really love for that game to be like a solid 8.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it will be. And, like, that's
great. I think it's
going to
be a 10.
You think it'll be a 10?
Out of 12,
he doesn't think that.
The whole 10.
It's very hard for
the old metric 10.
Yes.
It's very hard for a game like that to get everything right. You
Dan
know,
Stapleton just throws out tens like crazy. So.
That's not true at all. Absolutely not true.
It's absolutely not true. Yeah, no, that's gonna be awesome. And of course, The Last Guardian. Like, I can't wait to see. Even if that game ships completely broken, like there's gonna be so much in there that I can't wait. I can't wait to try.
I know you and I have talked about this, but like here in San Francisco, on the sides of buses and a couple of billboards, and now slowly but surely, like during major TV events, we're seeing ads for The Last Guardian. It's
crazy.
So surreal.
Oh, some of that's me.
What's that?
I've been putting up posters.
Good for
nice
you.
Work. Yeah, I've been hanging up some walls.
No, Max and I saw them outside.
The old street team.
We saw them above the Jacob Javits Center and Madison Square Garden. Jacob Javits Center.
Oh, Javits?
New York Comic Con, the show you worked with me last year.
Junkum Javits?
Jacob Javits Center.
Never been there.
It's a center with a jank. Jerry Jangas?
Well, they also put ads above Madison Square Garden.
Heard of that.
Okay, your hearing disease doesn't
Madison
extend
Square Garden.
Mardigan Darn Dargan? Yeah, so they're putting money into this thing finally. I still haven't seen a ton of TV commercials, but I cut cable, so.
Jefferson Cube Yard.
Yeah, the only time I see TV commercials is when I'm at a bar and I'm usually pretty drunk. So.
Yeah.
And there's usually no sound, and so I make up my own stories.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
The narration and
the lodge dog has returned, and the boy must help him get out of the cave.
You should come head by some of my bus stops where I've been putting up those posters.
Ooh, corporate synergy.
I think it's weird you call them your bus stops.
Oh, Max,
they got my posters up. They are my bus stops.
In addition to running a street team, he also owns a bus line.
So, okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Just called the Peter Pan bus line. Yeah. We got cheap trips going up to Vermont if you want to go there. All right, so we have a new segment. What we are playing?
What we are playing?
The number one virtual reality Dracula podcast.
Thank you to Beyond listener Tiger Bauer for that great
title. Also blame him for that.
I'll fly through these real quick. I still love PSVR. The honeymoon is not over yet. I really enjoy just going home and just playing that thing for like 30, 40 minutes.
The honeymoon?
Yeah, you know
the honeymooners.
Is that a VR experience?
In cinema mode, you can watch all 12 seasons of the honeymooners. See that man do a real
boom right to the moon.
Somebody just like shells out hundreds of dollars for like, yeah, I got the 4K stuff. I got the PS Pro. I got the PSVR. Mostly just been marathon and Green Gables. Like,
I really wanted to do a hard rewatch of Mad About You.
Yeah, I was watching bad. Anyway, carry on.
Dog is a character.
Side note, you can use the PS4 media player to watch movies in VR mode, but because they're not like designed for that, it's insane.
How big can you make Andy Griffith's head
so
look?
I put on like the original 1970s Jungle Book.
That's not great.
Oh, boy.
Which I love. I love that movie. I don't know why. It's just like it was a file I had. I pirated it. Put me in jail.
It's the law of the jungle.
I stole the movie where the lion wears the crown that doesn't fit in his head. Okay? Like, if you're going to hit me in jail, like, let's just talk about how great that movie is.
They love that shit movie in prison.
It was like watching it in like a nightmare tunnel through like a cone. Like it was like spinning and I was like, ah! Was like, so be careful with that.
Good to know.
I'm hearing people are trying porn with that. Good luck.
Godspeed.
Good luck on the other side of that K-hole.
Yeah. Attack on Titan.
So I'm playing a bunch of really cool VR games. One of them I tried is called Windlands. It's legitimately the most terrified I've ever played. I've ever been playing a VR game, and it's a happy, like, fun, comfy platforming game, but it's all in first person. But it gives you that, like, that feeling of falling.
Where your stomach drops.
Sounds like it's VR Jumping Flash, which seems like a terrible idea.
100%. It's VR Jumping Flash in first person, and you have these grappling hooks, and you basically have to, like,
sounds super cool.
It's really cool. You have to Mario 64 your way around this, like, huge 3D environment. You'll see like a tree that's like 7,000 feet tall. You're like, how do I get up there? So I was just like, I was like shooting up and I got to the top and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I walked to the end of the tree and I was like, oh, there's a platform down there. I can get to it. I'm going to jump for it. And I jumped and I was like, ah! Oh my God, I made it. And like after 10 minutes, my wife walked in and she was like, are you okay? And I took the VR headset off. My face was beet red. I was covered
sweating.
In sweat. My hands were covered in sweat. And I was just like, yeah, I'm having a great time playing this game. It's really fun. It's called Windlands.
Well, so this is the second time I've heard this kind of thing from you where you're terrified of heights, but you want to go to the tallest places.
Yeah.
Like when we were in France.
You're like a cat.
Yeah, we were in Paris, and Brian was like, hey, let's go to the Eiffel Tower. And then as we're riding the elevator up the Eiffel Tower, I look over.
Side note, he's like, crippling fear.
Yeah, he's like, look at how sweaty my hands are. And there's just a puddle in his hands.
They're dripping
like,
sweat.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the second time I've been up there, too. Because I think fear is a lot like Taco Bell, where you have it and you're like, I'm never going to do this again.
Is that
and
a Frank Herbert quote?
You get a few drinks in and you're back there.
Yeah.
It's stupid, right? You subject yourself to stupid things. But part of this is like, after like 25 minutes, I was like, I'm never playing this again. And I went back the next morning and I'm like, I'm actually getting better at this. I also play this game called The Weeping Doll, which is like...
Sounds awful.
It's sort of... Yeah, it's really funny. It's sort of like a Escape the Room type game. And it's Japanese, but it's got British voice acting. So it's insane. And moving around the game is just... It's bizarre. They, like, no VR game has really been like... Here's full 360, like, first-person controls, because most people can't handle that sort of, like, movement of it. They get nauseous. So in this game, you project this, like, hologram elderly woman towards a different part of the room, and then she disappears, and you're, like, in front of a clock, and she's like, I hear the ticking of the clock, but what will make it stop? And you're like, oh, my God, this is terrifying. So basically, there's these nightmare dolls and this little girl running around this house, and you have to solve this puzzle. It's $10. It's terrifying. So give that a shot. I also play this game called VEV, or Viva X Vivo.
Oh, the Viva Vivo?
Yeah, which is really cool. It's $5. You play as, like, basically a microscopic organism.
Sure.
And you're inside what I believe is, like, the human body. It's sort of like that Martin Short movie, Innerspace.
Innerspace?
Yeah.
And that's not a Martin Short movie. He just happened to be in that movie.
He was in a lot of that movie. He's the pilot inside. No, he's the man.
I love short films.
Isn't he the man?
No.
He's not, isn't that the man?
I believe that was Dennis Quaid.
Ah, D. Quaid.
Dennis Quaid's the pilot, but they're inside Martin Short. It's literally in the entire
that
movie.
That might be the case.
Just because you're inside of a man, it doesn't make him the main character.
What about the movie? What about Inside Out?
How was that the comment that grinded the show to the halt and not my comment?
Because
maybe.
He looked at the camera like a sick dude. So anyway, it's really cool. I like it a lot. It's basically – it feels like this underwater No Man's Sky almost where like you – the sense of scale is just ridiculous. You're floating along and like these just huge sort of like – giant organ-looking shapes float by you, and there's weird monsters and creatures, and it's like $5. It's a great sort of just fun little VR experience.
Yeah, did you know that if you get to the center of the universe in No Man's Sky, it turns out you're inside Randy Quaid?
I would love that. That's a lot better than the version of the center of the universe that they put in that game
yeah.
that they stopped talking about.
The Randy Quaid
that also we stopped talking about.
Yeah. So what's Carnival Games about?
Carnival Games just launched
on
PSVR.
Everybody. Carnival Games is back again.
Yeah, remember that game? So this game sold them like over a million on the Wii. So, like every console launch, all the sort of like.
Me too!
Yeah. All the kind of like junky kind of third party games come in. They're like, hey, don't forget about us, guys. Hey, everyone.
You thought you were done going to the carnival.
Yeah, but
why
we're back.
Another plan?
So, here's the weird thing about this game. This is absolutely a game for children. All the commercials are making it seem like it's for like drunk adults.
Oh, you mean. A VR game for children 12 and under who
yeah.
cannot play this game?
That's the thing. PSVR is not made for children at all. Like, if you're not supposed to have prolonged use with VR or 3D if your eyes are still
but as a
growing
drunk adult,
or
are you having a good time?
No. So here's the thing.
No.
It's not good, but there are some really fun minigames in it. Like, every minigame collection, 70% of them are crap. Two of them are okay, and one or two are, like, amazing. Here's the thing about this game. There's this carnival barker who follows you everywhere and narrates your entire experience, and you cannot mute him completely. You can only turn his volume all the way down, and he's an insane person, and it sounds like there's a man constantly trying to kill you. And it's in VR, so everywhere you look, it's like 3D
there.
Sound, and he's
yeah.
like, hey, would you like to play another round of ring toss? The ringer's toss! And you're like, leave me alone! So PSVR is doing really good in week 3, and I hope you all enjoy it.
All right.
And that's what VR playing.
Now it's time for our favorite section of the show, Rapid Fire, which is where you go in the Podcast Beyond Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond.
Groups.com/cloud/upper-case-geocities.
We got a good question from Javier Bonet. Says, how has VR affected your relationship/marriage? Well,
not as bad as my phone has.
Yeah, apparently.
It's been good. It's been really funny because I don't know. I have the kind of marriage where I'm like, I definitely have my own space. Like, I can be like, I'm going to play video games for a couple hours. And she's like, okay, I'll read. I'll be in the other room. But VR is a little different because it is a very isolated experience. So I actually had a conversation with my wife early on where I was just like, if you ever see me in this thing and I'm holding these dumb clown nose sticks and I have the headphones in, do me a favor. If you need my attention, don't just, like, leap onto the couch or anything like that. Or don't come over and tackle me. Like, so she was like, oh, okay. So what she started doing this thing where she'll come over and just kind of, like, Like,
I don't like that at all.
Like spider crawl up my arms. And I was like, ah! And I took my headphones off and she was like, what? She told me not to scare you. And I'm like, that's actually 10 times more terrifying
way worse.
Than if you just yelled. But I think, like I said before, like when I play PSVR, it's in way shorter bursts than I would like play something like Skyrim for like 4 hours. So it's actually been really good for my video game time because I can go home and play for like 30 minutes and then take it off and then be back in the real world. So I think a lot of the, like, the things that people are saying about VR in general being isolating, I don't necessarily find that. I've also found like some of the multiplayer stuff, the asynchronous multiplayer, is actually really fun. So it's probably cool for most people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a disaster dude and you don't take care of your wife or whatever, then yeah, PSVR is just going to be fuel to that fire. But you're a mess. Get it together.
Disaster Dudes is the name of my favorite NES game.
It's a, it's a really good NES.
They were like a dumb teenage blast core.
VR has really improved my relationship.
The president has been kidnapped. Are you a disaster of a dude enough to save him?
The end.
Christopher James Capitoccio.
Christopher James Capitoccio.
You may trade one first-party PlayStation franchise for a first-party franchise on Xbox or PlayStation?
PlayStation Go.
Oh, okay, I get it. Yeah.
You can have Gran Turismo, because I don't like those car games.
I would trade Gran Turismo for Forza.
I just want Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
I mean, more people to play Sunset Overdrive. I don't know.
Are you gonna play Forza, though? Why don't you just trade Gran Turismo for something like awesome? Like, trade it for Halo.
Okay, Forza Horizons is awesome.
Forza Horizons.
Yeah, no, it's good, but I just don't see myself.
You
really
drive through a whole field of coconuts and just run over some corn, whatever.
I like the Forza they had at launch where all the people were cardboard.
I like that.
That was really funny.
Cardboard.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking like big Xbox franchises, I would say Gears of War.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like the clear winner to me. Like, I really enjoyed the first two, but I hadn't played.
Don't make that face.
I don't like
three
that.
Or four or Judgment.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Gears is great.
Yeah.
I would say
that's a good trade.
I'd say the little Big Planet for Rare, for like all of Rare.
That's a pretty good one. Oh, yeah, I forgot the other half of that equation is that I have
specifically
to trade a franchise out.
I would trade my my Crash Bandicoot buddy icon for my Xbox avatar that makes the fart noise when I stick on the thumbsticks. Also is dressed like me from 2011.
I mean,
it sounds like a very
Max
Scoville
thing
to do.
If this was trading cards, I'd be like, can we get like the rookie card era Rare or like the...
Can you get Super Nintendo?
It's sort of like being like, can I get like the Chicago Bulls Jordan versus like the 2016 Jordan? Like, I don't really want 2016 Rare. They make like avatars.
They're making Sea of Thieves.
I know, but that's like one thing out of what everything they've done. Like, since they got acquired by Microsoft.
They grabbed them. Remember when they grabbed them by the
ghoulies? They grabbed them right by those ghoulies.
Wow.
Okay.
It's a famous quote.
Yeah. All right.
Donald Trump.
Brandon Juarez is going to PSX and what to expect from it.
Is he
asking us or...
He wants to know what it's going to be like going to a PlayStation conference.
So PSX this year is in Anaheim on December 2nd and 3rd.
Yep.
It's at the Anaheim Convention Center, which is a very large convention center.
Yep.
I would say expect hands-on with a bunch of games on PS Pro, on 4K TVs, hands-on with a bunch of VR things, tons of really cool indie games. There's going to be a press conference in the morning that will probably have cool announcements.
Yep. One of my favorite things about PSX last year is that they had this sort of like meta game of actual physical trading cards.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And they had them at every booth. And if you talk to the booth attendees or you beat a demo or something like that, whatever the sort of like stipulations were, they gave you a card and you can put together an entire deck of trading cards.
And some of them are really hard. Like, you could only get one card if you had like several of the other cards already.
Yeah, you had to like
trade
them up.
Didn't Andrew get all of them? Didn't Goldfarb get all of them?
Yeah, that's because he has a
Andrew completionist Goldfarb.
Yeah.
PSX is awesome. If you've never been to a convention before, it's a very manageable one. It's not like Baby's My First Convention or anything, but it is sort of like
stuff
training
more,
wheels.
So much more spread out, especially last year.
It's great. I don't know what it's going to be like in Anaheim. I'm imagining it'll be fine.
I would assume it would
be nicer.
Yeah. Bigger. Yeah.
But will Brian and I will be down there?
Yeah.
Are you not going?
And Andrew?
I don't know.
No, I think you're back here because I think you have to host the pre and post show.
That sucks ass. All right.
Ass suckers.
Well, if that's the case, that means that I'm probably producing the pre and post show, so we can stay up here.
Can we get hammered on rum wines?
Oh, it's dead.
10 in the morning.
Have some nice...
Never stopped us before.
What's a rum wine?
It's a wine where you pour rum
in
it,
to know in Anaheim? Why don't you have nice margarita bowls, okay? We got a rum wines up in San Francisco.
But the thing
Anaheim, California, the pinnacle of human food.
The thing that bummed me out is that Corey Barlog said that God of War will not be there.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see that game for a while.
Yeah.
What about, do you think we'll see Horizon at PSX?
I think we'll definitely see New Horizon. There's some rumors of the Uncharted DLC.
Yeah.
Which would be cool.
Troy Baker was talking about that in interviews recently about how it's looking like it's the biggest.
Baker's dozen. Am I doing that
they're
right?
Doing a panel as well.
The best thing about PSX last year was the ability to just walk up to any game and play it. Like, that was about, was hardly any lines for things. Like, I know I played Uncharted 4 there, like, relatively easily. Also, we did a bunch of multiplayer stuff.
Like, it just wasn't, like, claustrophobic, like a lot of conventions are.
Yeah, it was
except
really
strange. When those sack boys came out, and then we had to look at their big, huge asses.
That was really strange. But no, it's really cool. If you love PlayStation like we do, it's an awesome show because, like, you'll just see cosplayers as, like, Ratchet and Clank. And it's like, you might not necessarily see that at Comic-Con.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also so singularly focused. You know, everyone there has the same interests. As opposed to PAX, where some people are just there for board games, or some people just want to play Pokemon.
The merch booth usually has cool exclusive stuff, so get there early on the first day and buy whatever you need, and then you can spend the next few days just kind of playing video games.
There's gonna be a large tiger on the show floor that you're gonna be able to pet
live.
Ezekiel's tiger. It's a great show.
All right,
and give us a hug if you see
Luke
us.
Luke Soin says, which IGN editor would make the best president of the United States? I'm saying Jared Petty.
Andrew Goldfarb.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, handstand Andrew Goldfarb.
Really?
Yeah, that dude's a workaholic.
He's so analytical.
He's analytical, he's organized, he's a people pleaser, and he's
yeah, but can people handle a president who precariously keeps his laptop so close to the edge of a table?
I think president needs to do that. I think you have to live dangerously.
He's got a lot of upper body strength, which most presidents have. Except for Taft.
I love Jared Petty. I don't think I don't think he wants to be president.
I don't think anyone should be presidents anymore.
He's probably too nice to be president.
Miranda would be a good president.
Miranda would probably be a good president.
Yeah, she's got a good head on her shoulders.
Leo Nordstrom says, any one of the Beyond Crew getting the Pro next week? Also, when does the embargo of it drop?
I have
that's
question,
a great question.
Yeah. The 7th.
Well, the stuff I said I knew we could say, and then Loose Lips Sink Ships went on to say more.
It's fine. The 7th. I have one pre-ordered. I'm like kind of back and forth on it, but I think I'm going to go for it because A, my launch at PS4 sounds like a Harrier jet.
Yeah, so does mine.
B, I was going through that logic in my head of like, do I want to upgrade the hard drive or just buy a Pro because a Pro has a terabyte? I could upgrade the hard drive on mine.
You have a 500 gig hard drive in yours?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know. Well, I don't have I kind of like get rid of stuff when I'm not playing it. Like, yeah. I don't really have a need to have like, I don't know. Like, what's one of last year? Like, Overwatch. Like, I played it for 2 hours and then I deleted it. Like, I don't need it there anymore. But
Sombra's coming.
Yeah.
Potentially.
I was looking at the stuff that it can do potentially for PSVR. Like, there's actually great sort of performance boosts on stuff like that.
Natural performance enhancement?
Yep. There's also, like I said, the hard drive stuff. It's going to do some performance boost stuff to regular games, even if you don't have a 4K TV. So I'm sort of like future proofing because I know that like I'll ride this out for a couple more years. Mm-hmm. And my logic is it's $399. If I buy it and trade in my other one for like $200, then it's really only $200. And had I just spent $100 on updating my hard drive, then it's really only $100.
That makes a lot of sense.
Thing. Yeah. So, and then I'm like 4K proof and my PSVR games look
also,
better.
Also, I mean, you probably spend like an average of like $50-$60 a year on hiring a maid to come and dust off the glossy launch one. So if it's matte, it's going to show less dust. So you're saving money just on the dusting of
it.
That's
true.
Do you have a 4K TV already?
Not yet.
See, that's the only thing that's keeping me from taking the plunge is I just don't have a 4K TV.
I probably will by the end of the year.
Yeah.
4K.
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my TV's only got 3Ks.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'll definitely never say that again. Christ almighty.
Zach, well,
I
heard you talking about you're potentially going to get one, right?
I mean, I don't know, because it's for me, it's a package deal. Like, you got to buy the 4K TV, you got to buy the PS4 Pro.
I don't think you do, though.
So, I mean, there's graphical enhancements that you can potentially do without having the TV, right? Like, or without having 4K. But I don't really know. I feel like I'm perfectly content with the way my games look right now.
Well,
I don't necessarily need an upgrade. Also, the Nintendo Switch is right around the corner, and I'm definitely going to buy that.
I will say that Sony's done a pretty crappy job of kind of explaining to the average gamer what this will do for them if they don't have a 4K TV.
And it's going to have to be you're going to have to show it out in the wild. I mean, honestly, it's a tough thing to sell. Like, that media briefing they had wasn't great.
No, it wasn't. But
well,
I think
they're like, everyone's watching like a 540p stream of this on a crappy internet.
Yeah, probably. I think PSX is going to be a good showing to their most hardcore fan base.
Yeah. I had a pretty embarrassing thing earlier. I was watching 4K footage of Horizon Zero Dawn, and it's like, make sure the YouTube is set on 4K, and I'm like, am I looking at this in 4K right now? Is it my laptop? It's like a Retina display.
Yeah.
I
know it's probably not getting the deep like HDR blacks or anything, but like, I don't know. Like, that's ridiculous that they have a disclaimer at the beginning of the video being like, make sure you turn the setting on.
And it makes you second guess yourself.
When you don't work for a company that is like 50% video, maybe a lot of people don't know how to optimize for 4K. Totally. Like,
of
right
course,
out of
yeah.
the gate,
I mean,
so
it's I think
like,
it's
no,
like,
but I literally don't know if I was watching it in 4K or was just. Yeah. Just very, it was just a high setting. You know?
I mean, I wouldn't feel bad about that. There are people that like have their like they had like their HD cable boxes hooked up to RF switches
yeah,
to their flat screen TVs. Yeah. Like people just don't know what they're doing. The people put in those like those AV plugs in the back of their HD TVs, and it's like, no, get a nice HDMI cable. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's
monster cables.
Yeah, go spend $200 on a gold plated monster cable. Buy it from a dude in a parking lot. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think Sony's done a weird job of kind of explaining to people, mm-hmm. and I think just at the very least, a couple press releases being like, this is what will benefit from it, this is what will help. But more and more every single day we're seeing this like ever-growing list of companies that are supporting the PS4 Pro. I saw once Naughty Dog was on board and they're going to do some stuff with The Last of Us. I'm like, I kind of can't wait to see what they do next. So I mean, if I can play Uncharted 4 DLC in 4K on the Pro, like, yeah, like that's kind of cool, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't know, I love PlayStation. I love the fact that consoles are like easy and intuitive. It makes me want to play them over PCs. They're starting to veer into more PC territory, and the fact that like it's actually becoming more obtuse and confusing. So I want to see how it all shakes out.
Ish.
You know?
I mean, at least with Sony, at least with Xbox, like you can only buy the proprietary brand,
yeah.
right? So even if one day they release the next, instead of PS5 being the thing, it's just the PlayStation.
Yeah.
And every couple of years they offer you a new graphics card for $200 or something like that.
Totally.
Like, yeah, at least it takes away all that guesswork of
and
building your own PC.
It's why I deal with the PSVR's lower resolution over something like Oculus Rift, because if I sit down at home and I want to play a game for 30 minutes, like I can turn it on and play it. I don't mm-hmm. have to be like, oh, it couldn't find the right like setting, or the driver didn't work, or like
right.
there's all these variables. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. Let us know why you're getting a PS4 Pro or why you aren't. Email us at beyond@podcast.groups.
Nope.
You were almost
nope.
there.
Just beyond@ign.com.
Equals net.
And then go to earthlink.net/access/
yep.
podcast beyond Facebook group.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/PewDiePie.
Yep.
Yeah, there we go. Close enough. Yeah, thank you all for listening, and thank you guys for joining me. Once again, you can find us all on Twitter. I'm Max Scovel. Marty's McBiggity with 2 G's and 2 T's. Brian is Agent Bizzle. And you are Zacharias D.
Correct.
Zach.
Cool. What does the D stand for?
Dong.
Nailed it.
Ducks. Right.
Great.
Thanks, yes. everybody.
That's yeah. it? That's the end of the show?
That's it.
That's a weird end of the show.
So really, yeah. the show's over.
That's the end.
There's the show.
That's how it just ends.
I mean, yeah, life doesn't have a... Life
that's,
to,
no,
life
what was that?
That's the end
a bunch
of
liquids
the show.
Came out.
Not a bunch of liquids,
I mean,
like a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
We're
going
to cut all this, right?
No, this is
why?
Great.
No. A premature ejaculation of
this
liquids.
This is a lot
what
better than just
about?
The other ending we had. This is much better.
Is this?
Agree yeah. to disagree.
I feel like this went on for too many endings, like the
well,
Lord of the Ring film.
I mean, maybe that's good.
Yeah,
where
we got
are those
a Return of the King
yeah,
situation.
That one, but that film won Best Picture.
Have you ever seen AI? Steven Spielberg?
Yeah, I've seen that.
And the other guy?
Take a look at that robot movie.
A boy die in the water or something?
That movie ends, and you're like, it's done, thank
and
God.
Guess what?
And then guess what?
Aliens.
Ends four more times.
Remember that part where Haley Joel Osment eats all that broccoli or something?
And his face gets all saggy.
And then he's all like, bleh, and then they have to like go in and like pick it out.
I accidentally called him Jaylee Hole Osment earlier when I was talking about Kingdom Hearts.
That was not good.
Jaylee Hole.
Broccoli's bad for you.
Jaylee Hole. Awful. Anyway, have a great week.
Happy day.
Beyond.
Beyond.
God.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.